Good evening. We continue with our series based on the book of Psalms. I must confess, when I was younger, I avoided Psalm 119. It was too long. And now I cannot believe that we are studying it section by section. And today is about the goodness of God's word. And our verses are from verses 65 to 72. Our reading comes from Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72, the goodness of God's word. Shall we pray before we continue? Lord, thank you for your word, and we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to understand a little bit more, help us to receive what you have prepared for us, help us to learn, teach us, Lord, as we sang this evening. We want to learn. We want to hear your voice. We want to obey it. And we want to apply it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our text has a heading. Every single section of this 22 has a character from the Hebraic alphabet. And our word today means good, means rejoice, means joy that comes as a result of realizing that the Lord is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. That's what the psalm is saying. The goodness of God. And now, the first thing we have here is a thankful acknowledgement of God's grace. The psalmist starts with verse 65. Shall we read it together? It's something, as I said this morning, I cannot believe that in a church they read whole Revelation. No, I don't intend to do that here all the time. But let's read verse by verse. Let's read verse 65 together. You have... You have dealt well with your servant. The psalmist tells his judgment and says, God, you have been good. You have been good. This verse states a wonderful truth about God. God is good and what he does is good. Do you believe that? God is good and what he does is good. And we usually think about good, that he is good when everything is good. And there is a hymn that I like, you know, count your many blessings. And there's a very old hymn that my grandmother used to sing. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count you many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessing. Count your blessing, name them one by one. Count your blessing, see what God has done. Count your blessing, name them one by one. Amen. And I used to hear my grandma singing this hymn. And I developed, you know, that habit of counting my blessings. And we count one, and sometimes maybe there are not many, I just carry on counting them. And sometimes we don't do that. You have dealt well with your servant, says David. Some people say it's not David, well, the psalmist. And he says, you know, oh Lord, according to what? According to your word. According to your word. Not because I have been good. No, according to your word. You know, you got, who's just dealing with me. No, because I am free of problems. The Lord is not delivering the psalmist from all trial, but is sending him the promises in his word. So we read our Bible, we read, and we say, well, okay, I'm going through this, but thank you for leading us this evening. Maybe it's not clear, I cannot see it, but I read the Bible, and we say, it's clear, I'm going to be blessed. People are going to do something against you, and you carry on, you know, reading your Bible, you are there with God, and you say, it's going to be well. But we moan. I have a friend that sometimes she knew that she always moaned. And she said, sometimes she will not say, good morning, Freddy. She know, good morning, Freddy. And she we laugh about it because she knows that she moaned. They said, oh, Freddy, I tried to learn not to moan. But the psalmist says, you have dealt well with me because of your word, the promises that are in your word. And then he goes on to seek good discernment about his word. Turn with me to Psalm 119. We are going to read verse 66. Let's read it together, verse 66. Teach me. Teach me discernment. Teach me knowledge. The principle of pleasing God may be within you. You want to please God. You want to do what he says, but your mind needs discernment. And we need to seek that. And the psalmist says, please, Lord, teach me. I am reading it. I want to understand it. Charles Spurgeon says discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. That is discernment. The psalmist says, teach me. The psalmist declared his faith. I believe it. I have believed your commandments, he said. I have accepted. Now, and there is a special petition based upon his faith. What he says, what he asks, teach me. Sometimes in churches, people seem to know better than God. And they try to have their own ideas about the Bible. The psalmist says, teach me. And I want to seek discernment. So the psalmist is seeking to know what to do. The Charles Spurgeon says to do it more than right, to do it like what he says. That is discernment. And then faith in the commandments is as necessary as faith in the promises. You open your Bible. You need to come by faith. I have a friend who is an atheist. And he said, Freddie, I have read the Bible 10 times. Wow, more than me then. But he doesn't believe it. He doesn't understand it. He's clever, you know, he has many degrees. And that you cannot understand the Bible if you don't have faith first. The psalmist says, I have believed your commandments, I am ready. And then he goes to verse 67. Let's read together. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. The psalmist says, even affliction is good. Wow, that's not politically correct, isn't it? Wow. They are benefiting affliction. You know, they are benefiting adversity. Okay, let's see. Before affliction, he was drifting. He was walking away from God. He was straying. In affliction, he learns. He's learning. And after affliction, he knows. By affliction, God separates the sin which he hates from the soul which he loves. God is working in your life. God is working in my life. And I must confess, when we go through tough times, we don't wanna be there. I don't wanna be there. But I went to a conference this week and they were having a special for the ministers there, and there was a book like this about 21 biographies of great men. And I said, I'm going to get it. And then I just opened it. I want to try to look for some illustrations for today. And then I came across something about Spurgeon's, how he suffered. And he was able to preach. In those days, 22,000 people without, I'm using a microphone, you see. And I said, oh God. We can easily identify with the psalmist. How often I meet people who comes to cry sometimes in affliction. When life presses upon them, they learn that they do not have the answer. But you know, sometimes people, we suffer, but we reach to a point where we say, God, I need you. You know, when you suffer from addiction, alcohol, drugs, or any addiction, the first step we need to have is what? To recognize that we can do it. So the psalmist is saying, I cannot do it. And then the healing process starts. But the moment this person doesn't acknowledge that, yes, I need help, nothing will happen. So the Bible suggests that adversity and affliction are frequent visitors in our fallen world. But God is in his sovereign. He wants to do something through you and with you. And our duty, like the psalmist says, teach me. Okay, Lord, what is it that you are doing? C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Come on, Freddie, I want something for you. Come on, Matt. Come on, Magnus, I want to show you something. But it's difficult down here. But he's preparing you. He's preparing me to do something. In the psalmist, verse 68, shall we read together? Verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your estatutes. The psalmist is shouting what we were doing. Do good means that God all the time is good. That is the meaning there. His goodness are there. And the psalmist says, I want to learn. Maybe I don't understand them. I don't understand this, but please give me discernment so I will know exactly what is it that you want to teach me. The third thing we have here in verses 69 and 70 is that the psalmist trusts during his affliction. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts. Proud people, presumptuous, arrogant sinners, forged or crafted a strong lie to attack him because they were envious about how close he was with God. And they will come and attack you because they say you are fundamentalist. You are so radical. Yeah. But David said, I will keep you preset. It doesn't matter. You will lose your friends. You will lose. I remember a dear friend. He was a master chief, petty officer. And the moment he received Jesus, But I should. He made my life difficult, okay? Before, he mocked me and all that. But when he received Jesus, his wife wanted to leave him because he was a fanatical now. And he was with tears. And I said, "Well, I was not a pastor." So I said, "Look, I'm gonna." So I took him to the senior pastor of one of the big Baptist churches in the city. And they was helping him. Then later I knew another pastor in a Pentecostal church and he was receiving. And he went through this process and I felt so sorry for him. This was a man who was so arrogant before that he looked down on me because I was a believer. Now he was there in my place. But now he's a pastor. He went to Bible college. And his wife came to know the Lord. The psalmist is saying here The proud are going to tell something against you. The proud are mocking him. They are arrogant. And he said, I will trust you. But he gave us the format. He gave us the template. He gave us the way to go. Instead of being moaning or feeling sorry for ourselves, grumbling about a situation, he says he focused on God's love. God loved his word. He said, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to be there. Sometimes we want to run away. But he says, I'm going to keep your precepts. I'm going to stay. This morning we read Psalm 91. Psalm 91 said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a wonderful picture. Your God is protecting you. His wings are there with you. And he said, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. What a wonderful promise. The psalmist trust during his affliction. Knowing God give us wisdom to respond. Verse 70. Shall we read together verse 70? Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Wow. The picture of what? A fatty heart. I was going to bring a picture of a fatty heart, but I didn't like it too much this evening. Somebody said, I knew it, so that's the reason why I didn't. But, you know, we have this picture. You know, their pride made them arrogant. Oh, you know. A heart covered with fat means insensitivity to God and to his word. Their hearts are dulled to God's truth. They don't want to hear it. If we were living in a different place, maybe they will kill you. Believe me. When my father planted the first Baptist church in the town, I grew up in Ecuador. Hipijapa is the place. But that's the place I was born. You know, it's a very Hipijapa, okay? I don't know how he did it. My mom is tall, but he's like that, okay? And he was very young. They will come and throw stones at them. They will not allow them to plant this first Baptist church there. How he stands, this little man. They were so proud. Fatty heart. They spend their lives in the world, and they are not sensitive to the word of God. And I praise the Lord when they are celebrating 50 years of that church there. And you know, what is the disease? A fatty heart. What are the symptoms here? Pride. What are the symptoms? No delight in God. No delight in the word of God. Dislike of people who want to trust the Bible. Fatty heart. It's a fatal character. What is the cure? What is the cure? The cure is a humble approach to him. In the Old Testament, we have the prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. The Lord speaks that sometimes we could have even religious people, and they said they worship God, and they said, I don't want to hear you worship. I don't want your offerings. Come to me. And you know what the Lord says in verses 26 and 27 through the prophet? He said, I will give you a new heart, and I put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. What a wonderful picture of God. It only happens when, like the psalmist, they says, I delight in what you say, God. I'm going to follow. You know, having a fatty heart is dangerous, isn't it? But those who are, what happened? Heart attack? Those doctors here, high blood pressure, something like that. He said, I can't, I have to be careful. I eat so much McDonald's. And they said, I can die. When this, I could have a fatty heart. It's the same, you know, if people are having fatty heart spiritually, they're going to die. So the psalmist now goes to conclude his reflections, saying a good result of affliction. Turn with me to verse 71 and 72. As the psalmist looked back upon his affliction, his pain, he concludes in verse 71 that he brought about a good result. Let's read together verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It has been good for many of these best saints to be afflicted. As I say, when I start reading the biography of Charles Spurgeon, how much he suffered. He was in pain. Sometimes he was preaching, and he suffered from gout, many things. And suddenly he was preaching with his powerful voice. And suddenly, he was suffering. His wife, you know, was unwell. He would have to look after his wife. But he was just preaching and teaching. It's good sometimes to be afflicted. When we come to adversity, maybe God is trying to allow us to go through adversity and trials so we can be the person he wants us to be. And the best picture is the refiner's fire, you know, the fires of the refining process for precious metals. You have this 9-carat ring is cheaper than a 21 carats, the 24. What is it? Fire. 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 And then, you know, here, when we experience affliction in life, it allows us to build our character, to become the person of God that God wants us to become. So we go through that. And then on the other side, we say, it was good for me to be afflicted. And I may declare you a statute. On the other side, yes. Because you are purified and you are more valuable. Are you in the midst of a great storm? Have you cherished, you know, your dreams are shattered? Remember, God has a purpose in allowing in this, my friend. I don't know what is it. I know my afflictions. And He chooses to fashion from your brokenness a life that will reflect, thank you for leading us, His glory. When we see through that window on the other side. And the psalmist says, it is good for me to be afflicted that I may learn your statutes. But then this leads him to realize something very beautiful as he concludes this stanza or section. Let's read the final verse of this beautiful section of Psalm 119. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. The word, this character from the alphabet means delightful, good. And he said, it was beautiful for me. It was, oh, this is precious to me. And then he realized the value of the word of God. There will be those who deny God, but he said, no, I want to trust him. Unlike those who deny God's existence, I want to put my trust in him. And this is something beautiful. Do we agree with him? Is this so beautiful to you when you come to your Bible and you read it, and sometimes you read something and say, wow, I cannot do this. And when we have our Bible, when we read our Bible, we make you wise. When you read your Bible and you believe it, it makes you safe. We said this morning when Jesus believed and he did not yield to the temptation, he was safe. And then when we read it and we practice, it will make us holy. It will make us better. So the psalmist is saying, it's better for me this. You know why? Because you can be successful in your business. You can be good in everything. I want you to be successful. I want my children, my grandchildren, my friends, my church. We want people to be successful. But we are not going to take anything. That's a bad news, isn't it? Naked we come. Naked we'll return. And what is precious? Our soul. And the Bible tells us that to those who believe, to those who surrender, he will give you the right to become what? Children of God. So the psalmist said, this is more precious. And believe me, sometimes it breaks my heart. I remember a man in the area, in the previous church, he got so much money and he didn't have any descendants. And I tried to visit, I went to visit him in hospital. And he was learning, I was trying to encourage him to go and surrender his life to Jesus. And Bernie died. I was in college and I was about to go back. And you know what? What broke my heart is when I heard everything he has went. His soul was gone. And that was one of the, it broke my heart because I said, God, why I was so politically correct? I should have been, even if he burned insulting me, because he was a character. I can tell you. I went to the hospital and all the nurses, they ran like, you know the picture. But one day I went to visit. Oh, Freddie, I just get to know you. The psalmist says, your word is precious. I conclude tonight, you know, that when we finally recognize the fact that God is good. Do you believe God is good?
Yes.
God is good. All the time. And then, you know, when we realize that God is good and that's good regardless of what is happening, it is a good thing. Perhaps you have a list. I'm going to give you my list. You know, count your blessings. I can say, well, I have a good wife, a Christian wife. I have wonderful children. I have two great Christian parents. I have assurance of salvation. I have food on my table. Well, unless it's McDonald's, but I can, you know, I'm happy with that. I live in a warm house, you know, and I live in a free country. I was able to go to college. In spite of cancer, my daughter is still living. And when we are sick, we are able to go and see a doctor. But what happens if that doesn't happen? When will that cancel the goodness of God? What if I don't have a Christian wife or a Christian husband? I don't have wonderful children, but disobedient ones. I don't have two Greek Christian parents. I didn't have food today. I didn't live in a warm house. I'm struggling to pay my bills. I didn't live in a free country. My children are not healthy. I am seriously ill. We can be thankful in the most difficult time. Do you believe that? Yeah, I'm telling you. When we go through that, we sense the presence of God so close. I can tell you that. The last few months has been difficult, but I sense that God has been so close. As we conclude, our last hymn will be, "Now thanks we all our God." Do you know that hymn? That hymn is special to me. I don't know why, but like Billy, that hymn came to me. And that was the hymn that in the church that my grandfather was the pastor, these people used to sing it like, you know, lifting the roof. And I said, what's going on? And then when I discovered the story, it was written by Martin Rinkert. Martin Rinkert was a Lutheran minister who came to Eilenburg, Saxony, at the beginning of the 30 Years' War. The walled city of Eilenburg became the refuge for political and military fugitives. But the result was that the city was overcrowded and everyone was coming. And there was a, you know, people didn't have money. There was a pestilence. There was famine. Armies overran the city 3 times. But Pastor Rincon, in his home, he was the refuge for the victims. Even when he didn't have money to do it, he was able to bring some food and with his wife trying to help those refugees. Now, during the height of the severe plague, 1637, Pastor Rincard was the only surviving pastor in the city. And then he had to conduct many funerals, 50 funerals in a day. And now he performed more than 4,000 funerals in that year. 4,000 funerals in 1 year, including that of his own wife. And in those moments, he used to write hymns. He used to write prayers. Even during the darkest day of Ellenburg agony, he was able to write this hymn. Even when it was destruction and it was hell there in that city, he remembered that God is good. And he was able to write this prayer that now we sing. And he was able to say, "Now thank we all our God, we heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, whom from a mother's arm has blessed us on our way. We countless gifts of love and still sees ours today." Can we do not do this same? Our lives are free of trouble if we compare our lives to Pastor Rinker. What problems are you facing today? Hand it over to the Lord in prayer. Then meditate on the scripture and thank God, because maybe there is a lesson that he has for you. Our afflictions are not designed to break us, but to bring us closer and closer to God. When do we learn the word? So often when we go through tribulations and afflictions, when things are going well, we have the tendency just not to take, don't worry about anything. But when afflictions come, we turn to the word of God. And as I finish, let me just quote a few verses before we pray about the goodness of God. "All give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. All give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. All give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Let's be thankful. Let's count our blessings, recognizing the fact that our Lord is good, and what he does is good as well. Remember, our afflictions are not designed to break us, but to bring us closer to God. Amen. Let us pray before we sing our last hymn. Father, thank you for the words that we read this evening. Help us, Lord, to remember that our afflictions are not to break us, but to bring us close to you. I pray for that person this evening that is going through the valley of suffering or uncertainty. It's blurred the way, but help him, help her to see that it's beautiful on the other side. If we trust in you, so Father, help us like the psalmist, just to trust, knowing that you are good, and everything that you do is good. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.